Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Cameo Launch Short Film Podcast, where we bring you our picks of some of the best short films online. Joining me again is the amazing video wizard, George Mole.
Hello there.
Was that a Star Wars reference?
I don't know, maybe.
You see, as we record this podcast, it is the 19th of May, 2020, and exactly 15 years ago, we were treated to the final part of the, I think we can all agree, that the masterpieces that were the prequel trilogy.
When you say treat, Nigel, what you're saying is, you know, like when you stayed in a hotel that was, by all intents and purposes, shit. But at least the next day, they still left a very awful chocolate on your pillow. That's kind of what you're describing when you say treat. It was better than Attack of the Clones. That wasn't exactly hard, was it? Let's not talk about Star Wars. It's not a good idea.
It was a low bar to clear. But they did it.
They did. They had the high ground by the end of it. And it's my favourite.
Exactly.
And it's the film... It is the Star Wars film me and my friends quote the most. So it's had its
effect. I mean, frankly, I think we all underestimated its power.
Oh, for goodness sake.
From my point of view, the original trilogy was evil.
You were my brother, Nigel, and I loved you until you said that.
I don't even have any excuse. So, yes, it is the 15th anniversary of the release of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. I'm trying to think of some ways to actually mark the occasion. I'm not going to watch the prequels again.
I mean, Mandalorian is paused right now behind where I've got the laptop. We're 24 minutes, 28 in. Season 1, Episode 7, The Reckoning.
Yeah, I mean, that I highly recommend. I am definitely a Mandalorian fan, and I'm actually wishing that I'd waited until now to actually watch it, given that we had to wait so long after its original release anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
But yes, so clearly people tuned in to the short film podcast to listen to us talk about Star Wars, but unfortunately I have to disappoint those people and talk about short film at some point. There is some interesting news in the wider world film, and also ties into our current woes with regard to the coronavirus as well. And that is that there has been a, quote, tentative confirmation. I don't know how it could be a confirmation and still tentative, but yeah. From the government that some leisure facilities, including cinemas, will be allowed to open as of the 4th of July. Some of the major chains have stated their intentions to open on or not too long after that date. Odeon has said that it plans to open in, quote, early July, without giving a specific date. Showcase and View have both said that they're aiming to open on the 4th of July as well. And the two big ticket films that they're expecting to really expect crowds for, obviously properly socially distanced crowds,
ideally,
are Christopher Nolan's Tenet on the 17th of July and the Disney live-action remake of Moonlight on the 24th. So whether or not any of that goes ahead is still anybody's guess.
Yeah.
There are plenty of factors still in play that could scupper those plans.
Yeah.
But as a tentative plan, how do we feel about this? Is this a sign, sort of the green shoots of the virus being under control and being able to return to some semblance of normality, or are we jumping the gun? George, how do you feel about it?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Yes, potentially we have done well. The curve has been flattened. We're not going to get into any of the politics or numbers or anything, because let's not be like everyone else. But it is both, yes, things have gotten a little bit better because of the good things we've already been doing, and it is also... UK cinema chains want to make money and need to survive. And also the cinema industry as a whole, I'm not being bitter, and I'm sure you wouldn't also. We do want them to survive. We love them. And it's part of why we got into what we do anyway.
Absolutely.
So for me, when they say tentative, it's because I want it to be tentative, because that's the only film out of all of the films. So you love that pun. You were so shocked. I can see you on the Zoom video call right now with your hand over your face, but I know it's because you have nothing but joy for that pun. Anyway, moving on. It is tentative because basically, can they release that on demand? I know they're trying to open up the UK cinemas, and I know that I was going to book IMAX for opening night and I was going to go see it. But now that it's not possible, and the only way I can see it is by maybe sitting with either my, well, my flatmate, because it says, from what I've read, you can only be in family groups, and then everyone's spread apart. So I can sit with my flatmate, or on my own, away from certain other people. How can you confirm, are we going to be, like, doing temperature tests outside for everyone? How can you confirm it? So because of that, if they could release that on demand, from what we said last week, that's the only on-demand potential film that I would actually pay money to watch in my own home. I would rather watch it in IMAX, because it's a Nolan film, and all he does is film on IMAX.
Yeah. But yeah.
I would watch it at home, because of the circumstances. Which is a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And there are a couple of films, actually, that were kind of positioning themselves to be other sort of big-ticket movies for later on in the year. Tom Hanks's film Greyhound, the World War II film, will now premiere on Apple TV Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, according to Deadline. But yeah, I mean, that it is a tricky one. I think this whole situation is the quintessential Rock and Hard Place scenario. You absolutely can't justify risking public safety to make money. At the same time, if things stay shut, they will go under. It doesn't matter how big or small your company is, you can't survive without trading indefinitely. And again, the government only has so much money to bolster people's finances as well. If it could be done in such a way where public confidence is high enough to do it, and if confidence in people's behaviour as well is high enough to do it, then it's something that I would welcome. But in as much as you see people not properly confirming what certain guidelines are and so on and so forth, even in this particular situation, they're saying that audiences will have to be properly socially distanced, but they haven't specified what that will include. No one chain has said, these are the exact measures we'll be taking, this is what you can expect us to be doing at the time. Not saying they haven't been coming up with these plans, but as I kind of assess the situation from a distance, I wouldn't feel comfortable going into a cinema right now, as much as I want to, because I desperately miss going to the cinema. But then, yeah, then we're back to the conversation we had before, as you were saying, which ones do you then fork out large amounts of money for?
Yeah.
Which ones are worth? I wouldn't want to miss.
You're not just asking yourself, which film would I have seen in the cinema anyway? Which you're now asking yourself, which film? Wow, still mid. You know how everyone goes, oh, post lockdown, I'm going to do the first pub I go to is this, the first meal I'm, the first takeaway, the first film I'm going to see post lockdown back in the cinema. But we're still mid lockdown. But you're not just asking yourself now, oh, what film am I going to watch mid or post lockdown? You're actually asking yourself a very hard question that every film lover has to ask themselves. What film is worth dying for? Potentially dying for. I love Back to the Future and I will die on that hill. But I ain't trying to climb up that hill right now. I've got it on Blu-ray behind this laptop right now. I'm okay. So Tenet, yes, it's Christopher Nolan's next film. And I've never seen one of his films in IMAX and I've always wanted to. I can watch it at home. I can watch the next one, you know? So
yeah. It is exactly that. What are you potentially prepared to die for? When that is the question you have to ask yourself, that should communicate that we're not ready yet. I mean, if you're stepping out of your door to go see a movie and it's a potential health risk, a serious potential health risk, then we're not ready yet. So, yeah, do you then do the video on demand thing? The arguments that we were kind of tossing around last time mainly relate to if you've got a bunch of people, if you've got a family, got two, three.
Is it a money saving exercise as well as entertainment and distraction thing?
But it would in that instance, it would have to be something that the kids were specifically looking forward to. If they already knew, you know, going back to the Trolls example, if they already knew Trolls was coming out and they're all looking forward to it, and then the lockdown happens and they can't see it, but then it becomes an option at home, then yeah, that's a no-brainer. You would have spent more than that at the cinema anyway. It's still an option. They were looking forward to it. They'll be happy, so on and so forth. If it's a case of just trying to find something to watch, then no. But now we're talking about, you know, sort of our big movie. So for me, Mulan, I'm not prepared to risk catching coronavirus for it. Although I would have gone to the cinema to see it under normal circumstances.
Oh, really? Okay, fair play.
Tenet, again, same thing, but that one is going to be much harder to skip. The thing with that is when you take away the aspect of a bunch of people that I'm financially responsible for want to see it.
Yes.
If it's just me, I'm going to be able to see that same film in that same format in a few months for less money and keep it.
But I will raise you, and you know I'm not one to watch the trailer. And I will watch a teaser trailer, and then Nigel and I will argue about the fact that I should watch trailers. With Tenet, from what I gathered from the trailer, it definitely, again, like Inception, looks like a film that you're definitely going to want to watch twice. So this is part of my thinking, because it's, spoilers from the trailer, it's a film that seems to be about time reversing and scenes being played over and over again. That's actually the kind of film that if I spend 15, 20 quid to rent it, I will watch it 2 to 3 times over a weekend. Uniquely, I would actually watch it more than if it was Black Widow, for example, was the first film that we got.
Interesting. Yeah, I think probably the make or break aspect of it is going to be the conversation around it. So is it one of those things that whips up the sort of online community into massive debates about X or Y or Z, stuff that's going to lead to spoilers the next time I turn on Facebook or Twitter or whatever? That is probably the thing that's going to then sway me one way or the other as to whether or not I then shell out 16, 17, 18 quid to watch it. In the meantime, let's talk short film. We had a couple of short films we were having a look at. One was Shadowed by David F. Sandberg, one in his long series of very short horrors that he does with his wife, where he puts her in a perilous situation and very expertly establishes a threat and then ends the movie on a cliffhanger. I think that's pretty much been his MO from Lights Out onward, I think.
That cliffhanger is either a full cliffhanger or it's like a punchline jokey cliffhanger, but effectively, yeah. And that's not a spoiler because if you think it is, then just watch more than one of his short films and you'll realise that it's not.
Yeah. It's a solid structure, to be fair, and every single one very rarely ever breaches 5 minutes.
And this one's 2:59. It's just under 3 minutes, which is
just
perfect.
Just under 3 minutes. In that time, he's always able to absolutely just hook you and really build that tension. So we'll get to that one. But the first film that we're going to talk about is a film called The Slows. Now, this is a fairly long one. It's 22 minutes, so it's fairly long for a short film. And it is written and directed by Nicole Perlman. If the name sounds familiar, you may have seen her name on the credits of Captain Marvel and Guardians of the Galaxy as a co-writer. And this film is a high-concept sci-fi film set in the distant future, where humanity, having faced the sort of collapse of the environment and potential extinction, managed to save themselves by shifting to a way of life in which they are genetically engineered and are artificially aged, so they enter society as adults. As a result of that, some key aspects of things that actually make us human, i.e. motherhood and childhood, become things of the past and societally become things which are seen as backwards and barbaric. So the story of this particular film takes place in a scenario where a small amount of humans still go through the child-bearing and child-rearing process, and people who have refused to live in this sort of genetically modified society have separated themselves from everyone else, and they live in small sort of colonies and camps, and they are referred to people from these, quote, enlightened aspects of society. They're referred to as the slows. They're basically seen as backward. They're seen as not quite human, which is an interesting aspect of the story, as the people that are referred to as the slows see the other humans as not quite human as well. So the main character of this story is a journalist named Erin, played by Annette Mahendru. And she takes on an assignment to observe the slows and get some kind of insight into people that she considers to be their ancestors, so she can kind of document for posterity where they came from before this aspect of society is gone. The way that the story progresses is that it is a slow burn, but it is incredibly well done. I mean, I think the one of its many strengths is its attention to detail. In terms of just little things like costume and set design. It's done in a very minimalistic way, so you don't have to spend loads of time thinking about what futuristic facilities or gadgets or whatever this society has. But it also aesthetically and thematically, it makes sense in that these are people that have removed key parts of their humanity.
Yes.
And as a result, there's less to them.
There's something
less
off.
Substance to them than there would be. So it's then reflected in their surroundings that are more bland and they're more plain and blank. They are human, but not whole, not complete. And that's kind of communicated through that minimalism. And I think that was quite a nice touch. And as you kind of get to the part of the story where Erin enters the preserve and starts meeting the slows, some of the cinematography there is just stunning. Oh, it is beautiful. Absolutely amazing.
Just that sort of helicopter shot when you leave the futuristic area and the sort of wide shot with the establishing shot, she flies over, it's like a drone, I think, flying over the woods, just showing how far reserved we are. The fact that this is supposed to be this post-apocalyptic world, but the greens are so high saturated and bright in this forest. So like nature has sort of, we can already tell straight away that nature has sort of carried on in this world, and before we even meet these so-called slows, I just thought that was really great world building.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that is done incredibly well is the fact that the slows are presented to the audience as alien, as the other in this scenario. When the story opens and we meet Erin and she's trying to land this assignment to go into the preserve and see the slows, she's warned that missionaries have gone in there and have been killed. And that's the only time it's actually mentioned. So from that point, it kind of lays sort of the seeds of these guys might be dangerous. But the only reason they're considered dangerous is because they're not participating in a practice or in a social evolution of humanity that we in the real world would absolutely not do ever. You know, so they're making the same choices we would make, but at the same time they're presented to us as being backwards or dangerous or savage because of it. And the fact that Nicole Perlman was able to present them in that kind of way, present us to us as being alien in effect, was absolute genius.
No, I agree with you. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was very well done. I thought the acting was impeccable on both leads. It was great to see both points of view. It's interesting how you say that the slows are shown as so alien when, funnily enough, they are the sort of characters we should relate to the most, as they are the most human and the closest to what we should actually identify with, because that's who we actually are. So it's a good juxtaposition, and it plays out very effectively over the story, and I think that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a story which is very much a journey for Erin, but it's done in a way that, number one, we see things through her eyes, so we're able to empathise with her and take part in her journey. But also we feel the potential danger that she walks into as well. And a lot of that is born out of not knowing what the slows will do, not knowing who they are. And it's that challenge that she has to kind of confront. And that is ultimately the reason she goes in the first place, is to find out who they are so she can find out the sort of roots of her humanity. But she does take a lot of her preconceptions in there with her, the belief that the way she lives and the way her society lives is clearly the correct way to be, and being utterly dismissive of the kinds of lives that the slows have chosen to live. And it's her sort of journey of, you know, you kind of need to let go of your superiority, even if you think you've progressed or overcome something. Things used to be a particular way for a reason. And just because you have let go of that with your progress doesn't necessarily mean that you've moved in the right direction or that you've done something right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we kind of get into that idea of just over the course of the story, and it's done in several ways. Just some of the people that she meets and initially perceives as threats, and other people who then begin to lead her down a path which actually increases her understanding and changes her perspective somewhat. But yeah, you touched on it earlier, George. The performances are absolutely just spot on. It's the kind of thing where the idea is quite abstract, and to kind of get somebody who can sell the idea of I'm genetically engineered, I can't have kids, and that's completely normal, and that's the way it should be, and it's normal to do it this way. I'm going to reword that.
Fair play.
Yeah, and basically... Oh, shoot. Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's interesting in that you've got... a character whose mindset is that, you know, bearing a child yourself is so backward, and that basically is presented to you as the norm. Being able to do that and also sort of reveal your own humanity to you over the course of the story is just a bit of a masterstroke there.
I agree, I'd say so. I'm definitely recommending The Slows. It's a slightly longer short, but to anyone out there who wants to watch something that is basically still a short feature, like I would like to see a film or even a TV series similar to Altered Carbon off of this short, but I do like how they have contained the full story. But this is a world that maybe I would be interested in hearing more about. But I just loved how even the foley, the sound effects on my soundbar in my living room, you could hear everything, to the crunches of the leaves in the woods, to the diegetic sounds of the babies crying. It all sounded very realistic. So the budget seemed quite high for this short, which you can tell is in their favour, because every frame is a painting in this short, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the kind of combination between Nicole Perlman's writing and direction and the cinematography of Adam Newport-Bearer, who also shot The Last Black Man in San Francisco, just the combination of those two things just creates an experience as opposed to just a story. It's a whole experience. It's one of the types of short films that I would recommend. You find the biggest screen you can to watch this one, definitely. Normally, you know, the beauty of short film is that you can kind of watch a lot of these things on the go. This one, I would recommend you set aside a half an hour, sit down in front of a TV with a good sound system and watch it, and just take in all of the every little nuance and detail that these guys have actually put into it, because it is just amazing. It's amazing. So yeah. So in case you weren't able to read my tone or intention, then it's a definite recommendation for this one. So we will include the link for the film and our review in the description of this podcast. So give it a click and give it a watch and read our review on that one. So yeah, that is The Slows, directed and written by Nicole Perlman. So our second film, as mentioned earlier on in the podcast, is a short horror film called Shadowed from director David F. Sandberg, which stars his wife, Lotta Lustin, and it follows a woman who is startled by a power outage and then begins noticing a strange phenomenon. So this film is a bit of a technical exercise as well as being an actual immersive horror experience. So it begins with our protagonist, played by Lotta Lustin, just reading a book in bed. Power goes out, and she has to grab a torch and just try and figure out what's going on. And as she moves the torch around the room, she begins to notice shadows appearing on the wall, cast by objects that are not there. As she then begins to search through the house, she then starts to come across the shadows of people and presences, and the situation just gets crazier and crazier from there. So once again, it is a bit of a masterclass from David F. Sandberg in terms of how to establish a horror scenario, build tension, and get you hooked into the story that is established in a very short space of time. So George, you came across this one. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, no, I just really liked it. And interestingly, when Nigel first said to me, "Do you want to come on a podcast and do it? We'll talk about short films." I was like, "Sure, go for it." And then, funnily enough, after he texts me, maybe 10 minutes later, I happen to see this channel, Pony Smasher, and I go, "Is that channel that's actually the guy who directed Lights Out and Shazam?" Because I saw Lights Out years ago, but I've never seen the Lights Out film. And this short, Shadowed, is, it even says in the blurb on YouTube, the description on YouTube, it's sort of a companion piece to Lights Out. What Lights Out did for telling your lights, funnily enough, out, Shadow does for keeping them on and casting a shadow against your wall and making potentially scary demons affect you during quarantine. But it's a good video. It was kind of set, this short, from David F. Sandberg, almost as a challenge to himself. I'm back in lockdown. I can't work on any of my features. I might as well make shorts with my wife again, which is how he started, how he famously got into the movie industry in the first place. So I thought it was brilliant. Once again, there's fantastic Foley in this. He even says in the description to watch with the lights off and the sound way up, and you can tell why. He even said that he reused, you can see the behind the scenes on YouTube, that he reused some of the great Foley and sound effects he got from both the short and the feature for Lights Out. So he kind of cheats a little bit when he uses his amazing actual I am a film successful film director library of sound effects, but it works in this. And again, he learning some special effects just to get the shadows looking perfect on this. And it really does scare you. Definitely, like with most things, watch the behind the scenes after you've seen the film, and it will give you a deeper appreciation for the short. Because I think at only 2 minutes 59, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and it's an odd mix of some really simple methods and some really complex
absolutely.
Ones. So the effect of the shadows being cast by invisible objects is obviously quite complex, but a lot of the mood and the atmosphere is basically some very simple night lighting where you only see outlines of the environment and outlines of the character, and then her face is only illuminated by her on torch as well. The visual aesthetic is just absolutely on point, and it just brilliantly just pulls you in. It doesn't come across as forced or cheesy or anything like that. It's very authentic, and at the same time you can tell that they're both having a lot of fun with the scenario and with the actual filmmaking process. And as a horror experience, it is a lot of fun as well. So once again, a strong recommendation for Shadowed, and as always, the link for the film and for our review will be in the description of this podcast. So definitely check those ones out, guys. We're very, very, very excited to keep our ear to the ground and keep our eyes open for new short films coming out and hidden gems that you might have missed. So we'll keep bringing those to you. Additionally, if you are a filmmaker who has your film on the festival circuit, and is looking for a means of promoting it, then you can submit your film to the Cameo Launch Short Film Showcase via Film Freeway. So that's filmfreeway.com/Cameo Launch Showcase. You can also head over to cameolaunch.com to get a look at the reviews that we've written for previous films as well. You can also subscribe to our mailing list and get a notification each time a new review or podcast episode gets posted. If you want to get in touch on social media, then you can reach us using the handle @CameoLaunch on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. George, I believe you have started a bit of a film review of your own, is that right?
Well, that will happen eventually, or it might be videos. We don't know. Basically, I'm furloughed and I've got nothing but time on my hands. So, and all I'm doing is both rewatching and finally watching films I've wanted to watch for years. So I'm making my sort of goal for the time being is as soon as I watch a film, at least that day or within a few days of working out my score out of 10, I will post it as an Instagram story. But I will save it as a highlight on my profile as well. So if you want to go to Instagram, basically my at is George E. Mole. So there's an extra E. So it's GeorgeEMole. And there'll be lots of film reviews as well as other nonsense. So if you're interested, take a look. But otherwise, keep it at Cameo Launch for more short film reviews.
Fantastic. So guys, keep an eye out for George's film reviews at George E. Mole on Instagram. And as we said before, keep heading over to CameoLaunch.com. where we will continue to bring you the very best in short film online. Thank you very much for joining us this week. Head on back next week where we will have another lineup for you, and we look forward to catching up with you soon. Thanks a lot for joining us, guys.
See ya.